Welcome back. We're continuing our conversations on Bible feasts with Pastor Kevin Parviz, the church calendar before the incarnation. Now, Pastor Parviz, last time we talked about Hanukkah, we didn't quite finish everything about Hanukkah before our time ran out. One more thing about Hanukkah that you wanted to mention.
Well, it's just that, you get gifts for 8 days, so that's really popular amongst the Gentiles. I remember my friend in Christmas, at Christmas time, he goes, "You're so lucky you get presents for 8 days. We only get for one." But he got a lot better presents than I did, let me tell you. But now, I mean, one of the things that you'd be remiss not to mention about Hanukkah is the dreidel. There's songs about the dreidel. It's the kids love to play the dreidel. The dreidel is where we teach our children from a very young age how to gamble. It's a spinning top that has four Hebrew letters on it that are an acronym for a great miracle happened there, theoretically in Israel. When actually in Israeli dreidels, the last word is instead of there, it's here. But and there's rules for how you play this dreidel, and you use chocolate coins. We call it Hanukkah Geld, and you bet and you take and you win and you lose, and then hopefully at the end of the game, everybody just splits it all equality wise. But it's interesting that the Jews have kept this tradition because it comes from a time in which it was illegal to be Jewish in Spain during the Spanish Inquisition. They were not allowed to light the Hanukkah menorah. They were not allowed to celebrate Hanukkah. They were not allowed to go to the synagogue. And so they created this little dice game, or this little top game, that was their way of celebrating the miracle. And that has come down into even today's practice. And as I say, there are songs about the dreidel and everything else. It's a reminder of how much the Jewish people really hold on to the traditions and the persecution of people and make it turn persecution into something that is positive. And it's a testament to that spirit that God has given them, that yet even with that heart that has that spirit, they still refuse to see Jesus. And so in some sense, it's a bittersweet game for me because it reminds me of just how zealous they are for tradition, and yet they're still refusing in such a hard way to receive Jesus.
Hmm. So the Hanukkah and some of the traditions that have come along the way or that have been passed on along the way, including the dreidel. Next up on our list, Purim.
Well, speaking of persecution, it's Purim. Purim is a festival all about persecution. It's the Feast of the Book of Esther, the Feast of Esther, when Haman wanted to slaughter all the Jews in Persia. The tradition of Purim is to read the whole Megillah. That's where that phrase comes from, the whole scroll of Esther. Every chapter, every word. While doing it in a sort of melodramatic form where you boo Haman and you cheer Mordechai and all the characters that come through the Book of Esther. Traditionally, we put a little H on our shoes and pound on Haman on the ground and make noise, groggers, and things like that. Adult gatherings of Purim spiels will do the Purim spiel. And drink. You have to drink enough where you can't tell the difference between Mordechai and Haman anymore. We typically don't follow that tradition. But at our Purim parties, we tell the whole story. Uh-huh. And then, of course, there's this great point in Esther chapter 4 where Mordechai says to his adopted daughter or niece, whatever she is referred to in the translations, depending on the translation, you might not want to step up at this time because she's been told to go to her husband, the king, and tell him what Haman's plan is. You don't go to the king unless you are summoned by the king. If you go unsummoned by the king, you can die. And of course, Esther is fearful of dying. And so Mordechai says to her, salvation will come to us from another place, but perhaps it is for now that you have been put in a place such as this. And, the Book of Esther is an interesting book because it almost didn't make it into the canon because the name of God is nowhere in the Book of Esther. And yet it's got the most powerful witness of God's salvation and of the Messiah there in Esther 4. And so we always make that, you know, salvation is coming. And salvation has come. It comes from God. It comes from God. And to those who believe his promises of the Messiah that he's going to send, which he was fulfilled in Jesus. And so that's, and yet, because salvation, this is an important thing for us to remember in evangelism especially, though salvation has come and is promised, you need to receive it in order to get the benefits of that salvation. We people, just because Jesus died for the sins of the world does not mean people are not going to die outside of Jesus and be judged and be convicted. You know, it's an opportunity to say that, you know, we still need the Messiah, and we still, you know, salvation is here, but you have to receive him in order to receive the salvation that he has won for you.
Where does the term Purim come from?
That's the lots. You know, they basically cast lots for the way the Jews were going to be killed, what day the Jews were going to be killed on. It's called the Pur. And so in the end of the book of Esther, it talks about how we're going to take again the symbol of persecution and turn it to our good and make this into a festival holiday. It's only 2 days, not eight. And sometimes three. Two Jews, three opinions. You just never know. But and it's a time to remember that time, to remember God's deliverance from the hand of Haman and persecution and destruction, to remember the Messiah, the promise of the Messiah for us as Christians, and to take care of. There's at the end of the book, it talks about how we need to share our food with one another, and to prepare and to provide food for the needy. And so traditionally, you know, we'll have a potluck and we'll take an offering for a food bank and things like that, sort of to fulfill this tradition, if you will.
So is Purim one of those, kind of like Hanukkah, one of those festivals that's not rooted in this, it's not commanded in the scriptures, but rather it's a tradition that comes out of?
It's not, let's put it this way, I wouldn't say that it's commanded by God. Mm-hmm. In so many words, like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot in Leviticus, but in you know, if we understand that the book of Esther is a book of the Bible, inspired and, you know, inerrant and written mm-hmm. by God through human hands, then at the end of that book it says, "You shall celebrate these days from now to eternity, wherever you are, to remember these events." So one could argue that this is one of the Bible feasts. It is a fun time. But always, you know, it's always good over evil, mm-hmm. and so in a sense that always makes it fun. But it's sobering also to recognize the events that lead up to the Book of Esther as well.
Yeah. What time of year is Purim?
It's a wonderful way to start Lent, because it happens in February, right around Ash Wednesday. And that's what's so amazing about the way the church calendar after the Incarnation and the church calendar before the Incarnation kind of fit. You know, you have this whole section of where Mordecai wears sackcloth and ashes and mourns, you know, for 7 days because he's heard the plan of Haman to destroy the Jews. And so it falls right before or at the very same time as Ash Wednesday. And often it's a great way to begin the season of Lent.
It sounds like, much like Lent, it's a time to reflect on our mortal state, you know, the fact that we're human.
And yet also celebrating the deliverance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think we always think of Lent as good things, but, it isn't somber when you have Christ, but in Lent we really examine who we are as people. Mm-hmm. And yet we have to, I don't think we can do that without recognizing that even though we are lost and broken, God comes into the darkness and finds us. And that's what happens in the whole events of the story of Esther. People are lost in darkness and God finds them. He's not mentioned. He's in the background, but he's all over the pages of Esther. And That's a great way to start the festival on the Feast of Lent.
Very good. Purim. Well, thanks, Pastor Parviz.
You bet. My pleasure.